Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Gittin Nun Gimel, Gittin 53a, pagination is 105, starting on the facing page, 5 lines from the bottom. Hametamei v'hamadameya v'hamanaseich b'shogeg potter. A person who makes his friends Teruma Tame, or mixes in Teruma into Chulin of his friend, or pours the wine of his friend for Avodah Zarah, all of this done Bishogeg, by mistake. He did not realize what he was doing, didn't realize the ramification of his actions, did it by mistake, potter, he's going to be potter. This is the case called Hezek She'eino Niker, a damage that is not noticed, it's not visible, he didn't burn it, he didn't chop it, he didn't damage it, but he did something which halachically makes it impossible to be used in the normal way at the normal value. If Teruma becomes Tameh, so it can no longer be used. If chulin, regular food, has teruma mixed into it, so then it can only be eaten by a kohen, and therefore it's going to be sold at a lesser price than if it would have been regular chulin on the open market. And likewise, once the wine is poured for Avodah Zarah, even though it looks like the same wine, there's nothing noticeable about it, but halachically, its status has changed. The Mishnah tells us, potter, the person who did this by mistake, is not going to have to pay. We have to discuss why. Is that biblical, rabbinic? How does that work? But b'mezid chayiv. If he did it purposely, he would be chayiv, obligated to pay for his damage. And again, biblical, rabbinic, how does that work? Just as an aside, this topic of Hezek She'eino Niker is a sophisticated one. We're dealing with all kinds of cases, in a general sense, where something was damaged, but that's not the real damage. For example, something a little bit closer to home. A person has an IOU from someone, and that's his proof that the person owes him money. If someone else comes and damages that IOU, burns it, rips it, what is the value that he damaged the person? The other person still owes him the money. It's just that now he's lacking a proof in order to extract the money. How do we view all of these different types of cases where it's not the conventional breaking a window, I know what damage was done, stealing $100, I know what damage was done. Over here, the actual thing that was damaged is not clearly different than it was before. Hezek She'eino Niker, damage that is not discernible, is one of the topics that historically Talmudic critics tried to use to discredit the Jewish people, and they mistranslated Hezek She'eino Niker. They translated it as, if we could do damage and you won't notice, then it's potter. And that's not correct. A person would have an obligation to pay for the damage he does, even if there are no witnesses and no videotapes, etc. He's still obligated to pay for the damage that he did. What's unique over here is the damage is not visible, it's not tangible, it's a result, but it's not a direct damage. What is the obligation in such a case? And the Gemara on today's daf approaches it from two different angles. Let's take a look at the Gemara, Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, midway on the page, midway on the line. Omar Chizkiah said, this is the first approach. Devar Torah, biblically, Echad Shogig ve'Echad Mezid Chayiv. Whether you do it by mistake, whether you do it purposely, Hezek She'ena Nikar is obligated to be paid. Maitaima, why? Hezek She'ena Nikar Shmei Hezek. Chizkiah holds that a damage that is not discernible by the human eye is still considered a damage, so that even though there's nothing different about the wine that was poured for Avodah Zarah, you cannot tell the difference. But if halachically, intellectually, we know something's changed, that's considered a damage. Umatam omru b'shogeg pater. So why indeed is by mistake going to be pater? Kidei sheyodi'u. That's a takana d'rabbanan, in order that he should let us know. Person did it by mistake. He's going to hide his wrongdoing. He's not going to tell us if you're going to obligate him to pay. Perhaps he'll let other people use it b'shogeg by mistake in their own way. We want him to let us know so that the correct halacha could play itself out, and therefore we absolve him if he did it by mistake. Ihachi. If it's true that we made a takana d'rabbanan to absolve him in order that he should notify us, afilu b'mezid nami, so even if he did it on purpose, we should have a takana d'rabbanan that he shouldn't have to pay in order that he should notify us. And the Gemara very cleverly answers, hashta la'azuke kamechavein odue lomodale. If he did it purposely, he was doing it to do damage. In the classic case, he was doing it to do damage. Certainly he's going to notify us, because that's the whole point, to cause the damage. Now, of course, a person might do things bemazed without intending to do damage, but that's the classic case where a person does hezek she'eino nikar, and he's certainly going to let us know, and therefore we don't have to make a takana for him to ensure that he'll let us know. For Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan says, let's approach this from the exact opposite direction. Devar Torah echad shogig ve'echad mezid poter. Hezek she'ena nikar, both by mistake and on purpose, is poter. My time, a why? Because fundamentally, hezek she'ena nikar lo shmei hezek. Hezek she'ena nikar is not called a hezek. In this world, we have to deal with things that we can see. And after that, it's the spiritual realm. And the spiritual realm might very well not be enforceable, choshen mishpat-wise, in a court. And this is an example of something that's not enforceable, Rabbi Yechanan says. Umatam omru b'mezid chayev. So why indeed is someone purposely doing it going to be chayiv? In other words, b'shogeg, I understand, very easy. B'shogeg, that's the rule. You're potter. But b'mezid, you're telling me chayiv, that needs explanation. Shelo yeh kol echad ve'echad holech mitame taharosav shel chavero. Because the rabbis didn't want that a person should in fact be able to use this loophole to damage somebody. Ve'omer, potter ani. And he'll say, I'm potter. I don't have to pay. So therefore, they made a legislation that if the person is doing it purposely, he's going to have to pay. It's a rabbinic legislation. But if it's shogeg, if it's by mistake, then the person is potter, because that's ikur didina, the basic halacha. In Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat Shin Pei Hei Se'if Aleph, we find, Hamazik es chavero hezek she'eno nikar. If a person did damage to his fellow in a way that's not discernible, again, we understand what this case is. It's not that there were no witnesses. No witnesses, he's still chayiv to pay. It's talking a certain unique type of damage that's not discernible on the human level. Kigon, she'irev yayin nesach b'yeino. For example, the Mechaber gives, he mixed yayin nesach. Somebody made yayin nesach by an avodah zarah, and this man took some yayin nesach and poured it into the wine of his fellow. Minatora hu potter. Biblically, you're potter. You mix the wine in, agreed. Halachically, you won't be able to drink the wine anymore because it's mixed with yayin nesach, but in a human discernible way, the wine is still here. Undamaged, in theory at least. But the rabbis made a legislation to obligate full payment for such a damage, kedin kol hamazikim, like any other type of damage that's done, but they're only going to give him the knas if it was done purposely, if it was done bishogeg, somehow the two things got mixed, but it was unintentional, then he would not be chayiv. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.